Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. What time is it?
Buff that boy.
Jason! Yes, sir. America, we are officially talking sports with 12th Man on this, first part of July. We had some birthdays to celebrate. Rob Ford, he is officially legal. He can finally drink, man. Hope he didn't get too wasted here. Like my man Gary. Gary was slinging tequilas apparently for his, man. So, but, Rob, how you feeling? I'll start with you, man. You feeling okay? How was your birthday?
Birthday was great, man. Unlike Gary and JQ, I didn't have one drink, so but all was good.
Come on, Rob.
This America, this guy was watching summer league basketball on his birthday. That's how dedicated this gentleman is, man. That's how dedicated he is. That's right, Rob. You represent, man. I can't talk too much, young man, because you're birthday, man. But hopefully, you had a good time. The family took care of you and stuff like that for sure.
Oh, yeah, all is well. I had a good time. Went up to Toronto for the weekend, so, good hangout with the family. So, got away from the heat and got to a little bit of cooler weather.
Nice.
This man
nice,
said
nice.
He went to Toronto and had nothing to drink. I don't know. We're going to have to get more povage on this. I don't know about that. We're going to have to get the lie detector test. He went to Toronto for his birthday and had nothing to drink. I'm a non-believer.
No drinks. My wife is right next to me. She's a witness. And no drinks in Toronto. We're with the family. And my youngest daughter is the police.
Younger daughter's what? She's the police. Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
She's the police.
Oh, yeah. She don't mess around while you're driving and drinking.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to dive in.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, we get you. All good. Well, anyway, hope you had fun, and good to see you back on the show. JQ, let's check in with you, bro. How you feeling, man?
I'm all right, bro. Just been a long day. Had to sit through a lightning delay where it didn't even rain for an hour during that game. So working both jobs today and a lightning delay is not, my idea of a fun day. But, I'm good. I'm going to make it through.
There it is. Yeah, whenever we were doing, whenever I was on the music for the games, man, we used to hate rain delays, man. When are we going to get out of here? So
right.
I know the feeling, man. So, man, it's just one of those situations, too. So you're just praying for a break, man. So, anyway, good to have you on board. I definitely emphasize what you're going through, too, man. But good news is that it's over, and you are ready to talk some sports. Let's check in with the West Coast. We got Curtis and Gary. Gary, hope you're feeling better. Curtis, missed you last week. I know Gary was trying to keep safe, but how you guys doing on the West Coast there?
Curtis, you doing good?
Good.
We're here, ready to do this. It's nice to be COVID-free. Our whole house got it, everyone, including our renters.
Wow.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, man.
There it is.
Glad you all doing
better.
We're
not talking because of that, but just happy that you guys made it successfully through that.
Yeah.
Man.
That tequila works.
Ready to talk to sports. Tequila works. Basically?
So,
okay. All right.
If you guys start getting a fever, a couple shots of tequila will help you out.
There you go.
Gary, be careful. You don't want folks to actually take that advice and start thinking that's a true antidote for COVID, because some people take that to the extreme. You know that, right? Literally.
Okay, I'd like to apologize to our listeners. except the ones that wanted to drink bleach. Anyway, go ahead.
Drinking bleach is going to keep me safe. No, please, no, don't do that. There's a disclaimer. All right, gentlemen, we're ready to have some fun. Again, let's throw the numbers out. We're always excited to see you guys. The number to call is always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and Facebook.com/TalkingSports, the 12th man. You will find us in that arena as well. We're going to abruptly stop at 12 because we've had a long day, America, so we're going to try to fit through all of these topics. I'm committed. I am committed to trying to get through 27 topics. Now, if I do this, gentlemen, I'm going to need some really help from you guys, meaning that we can't spend a lot of time on topics. We're going to go fast. If your name is on that, we're going to go through it. I don't need a whole diatribe. This may be tough for Rob because Rob likes to go 5 minutes in, but let's see if we can get through this. This is going to be epic, epic America. We're going to attempt this. I'm going to try to keep everyone on task, but I'm going to need some help. So whenever you see that, we're not going to bounce around the room. We're going to go boom, boom, boom. You got like a short amount of time, and we're going to try to make this happen. Are y'all ready? Can we do this?
Yeah, let's
do
go.
It. Can we do this? 27 topics? Nice. All right. This is like the speed round, if you will, or the lightning round, as they say. First and foremost, right out the gate, I'm so excited, America. Update on the AL East by Gary and Rob. I don't know who's starting out. Rob, you want to start off?
Yeah, well, you know, my Yankees still in first place. Got a 10-0 lead on the Pirates right now. They had a two-game losing streak, but still in the first place by a pretty large margin. Had about a 13-game lead over the Red Sox. Got to watch the Rays. They went into Toronto this past weekend and won 3 out of 4. Beat up on the Red Sox tonight. So it looks like they'll be moving into second place and surpassing the Red Sox. And the Blue Jays, you know, were playing well. They lost 5 in a row. And the Orioles are bringing up the rear, but still a lot better than they were last year, 38-44. And they're on a 3-game winning streak coming into tonight.
All right. I got this. Right now, the Yankees have got that, 13 or 14 game lead. I like what I'm seeing there with that as a Yankee fan. But we got a lot of games left. I think Tampa, if any of the teams can make a move, I think it would be the Rays. But go Yankees.
Yeah. Well, the Rays were starting to swing the bats. You know, they were getting good pitching all year, but they just weren't getting anything, you know, offensively. But now they're starting to put some runs on the board, which is making them pretty competitive.
Yep. Curtis was saying that the Mariners have won 7 games in a row. He wanted to point out.
That's awesome, but what's their overall record there?
That's right, yeah, right.
I'm just talking junk, man. I'm just talking junk, man. It's all good. It's all good. Again, we're having some fun with that, too. Real quickly, top five teams in the Major League Baseball. As much as I hate to admit this, I'm going to show you guys some love objectively. I'm going to go, this is Andre's top five. Got the Yankees, got the Astros, the Dodgers, the Mets. You can talk about kind of the Padres and the Braves, but obviously I'm going to go with the Braves in that fifth spot, too. So that's what I've got for my top five. Major League, both, a lot of squads are playing well, and the Padres are doing this without Fernando Tatis. So you talk about an amazing situation right now, but they are doing amazing. That's my top five, if you will, at the gate.
I'm going to throw a surprise on you guys. I have the Houston Astros in the number one spot. Even though the Yankees has a better record, they are a team that's really on the rise right now, and they're getting done, you know, offensively and defensively, getting some good pitching as well. I mean, they've won. They split with the Yankees in New York just a couple weekends ago, 2-2. And
they
then
did.
It came to Houston, and the Yankees lost to them in Houston. So that's a team I'm really worried about is the Astros. So even though the Yankees got a better record, I got the Astros number one. I got the Yankees two. Had the Dodgers three. And I actually got the Braves four over the Mets, even though the Mets are in first place in that division. I got the Braves four. They're streaking. And I got the Mets in the fifth spot. But, you know, the Mets are getting Jacob DeGrom back now, so we'll see if they're going to make a run.
You know, and I had the same picks, Rob, and it's because the Astros, they scare me. They really play well against the Yankees. They just scare me. They're a team that just matches up well against them. They know how to beat them.
Yeah, they had no hits for like 16 innings.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Nice. Like I said, it's kind of a judgment call. You got to look at Major League Baseball rankings. They've kind of gone up, but those are consistently as far as those teams as well, too. Moving on, we've got the top five QBs in the NFL by JQ. JQ, please don't put Baker Mayfield in there. Go ahead, man.
Stop it. Yeah, I'll finally join the show because I don't get to talk about baseball because my Cincinnati Reds suck. So I'm going to go with the top five quarterbacks. I think you got to stay with the old man in the NFC, Brady and Rodgers. I will put them in my top five. I think you got to go with Josh Allen with Buffalo. You got to go with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Even though he's lost Tyreek Hill, I think he's still a good enough quarterback to kind of spread the ball around and get it done. And you know me being a homer, I'm going to put Joe Burrow in at five.
That's the exact five I had, so good call, JQ.
nice stuff. Garris, Curtis, and I was going to call you Garris, man. I was doing Curtis and Gary combined here. But let's talk about
Dragon Ball Z fusion.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. JQ, another, that's what's up, man. You showing some love. I know you like Dragon Ball Z. That's what, see? Oh, this is great. I know you're into anime stuff. That's awesome. Another awesomeness. So their word on the street is that the Seahawks and the Blazers are not for sale. Is that true, Smoke Fire? What say about for you guys for that topic?
I guess we tried to play with Bill Mason. I love moves.
Well, Curtis is saying that the Blazers are still making a lot of moves. But, you know, Jody Allen, you know, she was talking with Curtis's favorite broadcaster in the Portland area. What's his name? Your buddy. Anyway, I can't think of his name offhand. Anyway, every time she's talking with these local guys about the sell of the teams, she always leaves it open-ended at the end, every time. And even though she says that they're not for sale, why does she keep still having meetings with Phil Knight?
They're not for sale, wink, wink.
They've had four or five meetings. You know, now, what are they talking about if they're not talking? He makes an offer for them, $2.5 billion or whatever it was. You know,
not high enough.
I think the only thing that is the hang-up is what she wants for him. And that's starting with the Blazers, and shortly after that, probably the Seahawks. But I don't believe it when she says that they're not for sale, because guess what? If you went to any of these owners in the league, you know, that are absolutely not going to sell their teams, if you went to, you know, Jerry Jones or Kraft or whoever and said, hey, you know, is your team for sale? They would say absolutely not. There wouldn't be, well, not at this time, but we'll always look at things. Or, you know, not at this time, but, you know, we'll always review. You know, these are things that she's ending her sentences with, which leads me to believe that it's closer than people may think.
Interesting. Okay.
Agreed.
All right. Let's move on. Are the Eagles the favorites over the Cowboys?
in the NFC East. Curtis and Gary, back to you guys. I think this is a torture question, but I'm excited to hear. Go ahead.
Curtis, you want to take this one?
I'm a big Cowboy. Well, they should be able to win their division easily. But a lot of people think so justice. Yes.
The Eagles?
Yeah. That's good enough.
I think it'll be a decent race. I think it'll be a two-horse race. I do believe the Cowboys will win the division because I think that Dak Prescott is a better quarterback, and I think it'll be his play along with the Cowboys' defense that will push the Cowboys over the Eagles in the division.
The Eagles defense is fierce, too. Man. All right. Good stuff.
JQ, top five NFL rosters.
Oh, boy. So just looking at it, you know, off the top and what's been going on, I still think you got to put the Rams up there. They're not young, but they've got really good veteran play on both sides of the ball. You saw that take place in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to put them in there. I think the Bills really are loaded as well in the AFC side of the equation. After that, it gets a little tough for me. I like the Bengals roster, but I don't think they've done enough on defense, so I couldn't put them in there quite yet. Real quietly, I like the Denver's roster from top to bottom. They just were a quarterback away. They got a really good defense. They got solid wide receivers. They just needed a quarterback. So I'm going to put Denver in there now that they've got Russell Wilson. Also staying in that AFC West, what the Chargers have done, and picking up, you know, Jackson and Khalil Mack to go along with what they already had. I really like that Chargers. Okay. They scare me a whole lot in the AFC as one of those teams that can make a rise like the Bengals. And then outside of that, you know, I still think the Bucs have a pretty good roster as well. They would have taken a step back if Brady hadn't come, hadn't stayed retired. But with him coming back, I still got to put the Bucs in there as well. So I'm going to go Rams, Bucs, Bills, Chargers, Broncos.
Okay. Good stuff. Who will be the kind of following that same path, Rob? Who will be the NFL's five most improved teams this season, if you will?
I think you got to, you know, one of the teams you got to look at is the Chargers. I think they have a legitimate shot at winning the AFC West this year. When you look at their roster, JQ just touched on it. I mean, they're stacked. Every level of that football team, when you look at their secondary, when you look at Bosa and Khalil Mack now, when you look at the receivers that they have, getting Isaiah Spiller, giving them another weapon on the offensive end, offensive line with Rashawn Slater, and then you look at the maturation of Justin Herbert. So I think they're the team to watch. I think another team where you see improvement this year will be the Eagles. And, you know, Gary touched on it. I'm not sure if they'll win a division. They might win a division. By the works, though, should be a wild card, right? The Broncos, just by getting Russell Wilson and what JQ just talked about, the roster improvement, overall roster. So you look for them to have a better year. And the Raiders, believe it or not, I think it will be a better team this year. I'm not even sure if they'll make the playoffs just because of their division. But I think they'll be a better team this year. I like some of the moves that they've made as well on both sides of the ball, obviously getting Devontae Adams to go on that team. And last but not least, even with Kirk Cousins, I think the Vikings made some really good moves this offseason, and I look for them to be a team to be – I don't think they'll win their division, but I think they'll compete with the Packers in that division.
Good stuff.
Those are my five.
Good stuff. I was giving you time to talk, Rob. I definitely wanted to touch on this situation, too. There's been some notes about Chicago proposing a dome for Soldier Field, and we can kind of this is kind of the first, like, around the room, if you really will. So let's kind of keep this pretty brief. And it's tough because I think they did it to kind of make it more attractive for downtown. But it's kind of tough, right, because if you're thinking about the whole history of Soldier Field and kind of playing in the snow, that's definitely an advantage for the Bears. So you kind of wonder why they do something like that, too. So, again, You know, that's kind of my thoughts at that too. But I think they were kind of, again, trying to – it's about money, as Rob was doing that in the air, exactly, making it more attractive and adding upgrades too. So, and that's exactly what it is too. So, but it does kind of like – you're like, man, it's like you kind of lose some of the nostalgia with Soldier Field, if you will, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Rob, if you will. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think if they're smart, they'll make it a retractable roof. I think they should take advantage of that home field advantage. But I think the retractable roof is more so to help them to get a Super Bowl, right? Obviously, Chicago is definitely a market that could host an event like that, but they can't host it with their current stadium. So I think it's a money thing. And then you
got
other major events there. Big Ten championship games. There are a lot of other things that they can be more marketable in and getting bigger events, right, for that city. So I think that's what if they're smart, they'll use a retractable. They'll take advantage of the snow and things of that nature.
Right.
But for these big events, close the roof, get the Big Ten championship games, get the Super Bowls, get those big events in Chicago, which is a great city to visit. So I think they will make themselves a lot more marketable for those big events.
Isn't Soldier Field where they had the fog bowl between the Bears and the Eagles, and the Eagles had Randall Cunningham, and they could barely see like 5 yards down?
Classic
like,
game.
I love stuff like that. A classic game. It's one of those things I remember. So I'm with you. I can totally agree with the retractable stadium, but you got to take advantage, especially when those other teams come to play in Chicago in late November, December, and maybe early January. You got to be able to make some boys play out there in 2-degree weather. It hasn't always worked out for the Packers, but sometimes it does. I just would love to see Chicago in those games in the snow. I just hope they don't take that away.
I'm looking at a couple of the fans, and they're like, this is embarrassing. This is a disgrace. You've got everyone all over the map on this, man. It's pretty nuts. Curtis and Garrett, go ahead.
Well, the fans are going to say that. They love the history. They love the tradition. But Rob's right. If you can control the environment, if you have a retractable roof and you can control that,
Retractable. It's got to be the thing.
During the regular season, that could be a huge advantage if you're playing some – it's going to be bitterly cold and you're playing some warm-weather team. You can
– Yep.
You can control that situation. And if you have that, it's about the money. So if you can hold the big events, the Super Bowls, the big college football championships and those sort of things, it's a win-win for the city. Remember the tradition, and you'll have that probably regular season. But, absolutely. I think it'd be great for the team.
Yeah. You're right, Gary. I didn't even touch on the National Football Championship games. I mentioned the Big Ten Championships, but, yeah, you can make yourself marketable for even the National Football Championships. It was just in Indianapolis this past year. Yeah, so, there's a lot that they can market themselves. And, if you want to visit a city, do you want to visit Indianapolis or do you want to visit Chicago?
There's no question.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah, you want to go and eat that deep dish pizza.
Yeah, and one last thing about that, while your team is not as great and the Bears are rebuilding, that weather is the great equalizer, right? If you can slow down a high-powered offense because the weather is bad, you give Justin Fields and the boys maybe a better shot in the game than if you close them to make it ideal conditions against a better team.
Right. Again, I think we're all in agreement. As long as it's retractable, that's kind of the interesting move too. But, we talked about,
Yeah, that's the big news.
Yep, good stuff.
All right, how many topics we got? Where are we at with things?
We're doing good. We're doing good. So we're looking at the – all right, so let's keep it good. So let's talk about number 9 here. We're moving right along. Where will OBJ and Julio Jones land? I know Gary even take this. I'm going to add my little 2 cents. It'd be nuts if Julio Jones lands with your favorite team, Gary, the Patriots. But I can see something like that happening. I can also see Julio Jones or OBJ going to, say, a team like the Packers, right? I know they drafted Christian Watson in the draft, but can you imagine them getting one of those guys and just literally just, man, just to, making a certain impact right there too. So that's kind of my little two cents on that too. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, they very well could go to one of those teams. How effective they'll be at this stage of their career, they're not the same players they were 4 or 5 years ago, but could be very effective for those teams. I'm not exactly sure where they're going to go. I'm sure that they're going to want to go to a winner, so why would you want to go to the Patriots, number one?
Good coaching, but keep it going. I like it.
Because they're not a winner. Right now they're Brady-less. You know, so
here we go.
They're not a winner anymore. You know how I feel about that.
Listen, I like Julio Jones. I think that would be huge, and I quietly would like OBJ if Dallas is still hanging neck and neck with Philadelphia. You get Dak and you replace Amari with OBJ for the last half of the season. That's not a bad fit. Depending if he's waiting, we'll take a little less money to go to Dallas.
There it is. Nice.
That'd be all right.
That. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. All right.
Yeah, OBJ, the Packers will be definitely a team that can still use him. I don't know what Julio Jones has left, but I think OBJ still has something left to offer once he comes back. He would probably be a great fit with the Packers. I just can't see him living in Green Bay, even if it is for a couple of months.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I said Dallas.
Nice. That's a good call. Hey, gentlemen, all right, let's move here. We got the Chiefs here. We're going to think about, the projections for the Chiefs this season. You know, obviously, you know, losing Tyreek Hill was a big thing. But what do you say as far as the schedule? Obviously, coming out the gate pretty hot here against Curtis's favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals. But what to you? I'm going to throw it to West Coast really quickly because you're closest out there to what's going to happen with not close. I'm talking about the division here. So what are your thoughts about really quickly?
What's your thoughts on Kansas City this year, Curtis?
Kansas City. That's a
toughest division.
Yeah. Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. Woo! I have more of the Chargers than the Broncos.
Do you think, Curtis, do you think Kansas City can win the division?
I think that's
Curtis is thinking that Kansas City can win the division. I think it's going to be San Diego that wins the division. That's my pick for the division. But I do think they'll go.
San Diego don't have a team no more.
Yeah, LA, you know what I mean. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I think this is going to be real competitive.
That's what's tough about this division.
It is. Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of different picks here. Yeah.
You can make an argument for every single team in the division.
Except the Raiders. I don't think they can win it just yet. Yeah. But I think they could be a good team. There's no doubt about it. I could easily see the Raiders going like 10-7 and finish last in the division. I think that's how competitive this division will be this year. But the Chiefs definitely can win a division, but I'm going out on a limb and agreeing with Gary. I'm picking the Chargers. I think top to bottom, they have the most talented roster in this division, and they got two serious pass rushers, and they got a secondary that can get after Mahomes, and they don't have Tyreek Hill. I mean, they still got Travis Kelce and some decent weapons. They're going to need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to stay healthy. I'm going out on a limb and picking the Chargers to win the division with the Chiefs and the Broncos competing for second place. So the Chiefs still a playoff team, no doubt. I mean, with Mahomes, and I'm picking the Chargers to win the division.
I'm going to tell you like this. I think that AFC is so tough, and I said it, and I'll stand on it. I think you may not only win the AFC with 11 to 12 wins. That's like there's going to be a whole lot of cannibalism happening in the AFC, and especially in that AFC West. So to answer the question, you said you took the 10-7, that's what I was going to say about the Chiefs. Losing Tyreek Hill is going to be a big blow. I believe. And that, their ability to strike really fast and get up on top of people gets, you know, can cover up some of the ills they have on defense, right? And if you can't do that and you can make them have to drive the field, you saw what happened. And that's when they had Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to go 10-7 or 11-6 for the Chiefs.
Wow. That's a tough division. And I think each one of those teams are going to be beaten up on each other.
Agreed.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Battle of attrition, right? Who's left?
Woo!
Yeah, correct.
Very exciting. Which rookie? Gotcha. Let's talk about some top rookie running backs that will shine, Rob. Go ahead and throw that to you.
Hey, I'm going to start with Breece Hall and the Jets. I mean, they're going to give him the rock running the football. They're going to throw it to him out of the backfield. I'm going to start with Breece Hall. He's probably one of the more versatile rookie backs that you want to be watching here. And the Jets are going to feature him as their number one guy. Isaiah Spiller, number two, even as a third-round pick, I think he's going to be a big weapon for them in the passing game. Obviously, he's still got Austin Eckler, so he's not going to be their number one back, but I still think he's going to be a big threat for them in their offense. James Cook and the Bills, I think he's going to be in their rotation immediately. So I think he's going to be in their rotation. Rashard White, running back from Arizona State with Tampa Bay. Giovanni Bernard, I hear, is on the block of getting cut here in Tampa. And look for him to be the number two back behind playoff Lenny in Tampa Bay. So look for him to get some action. And then last but not least, Houston is desperate for running backs. I think Damian Pierce, the rookie from Florida, is going to get a lot of action with the Texans this year just because they just don't have anybody. And plus, he's another guy that's pretty versatile to catch the ball out of the backfield. Actually, he's got really good quickness, too. Good burst. So those are the five running backs that I think that can have an impact here in their first rookie, in their rookie season.
Can we reclassify Travis Etienne to see them play it all last year? Because I think it's healthy. He's going to have a stupid year for Jacksonville because they're going to use him a lot as a wide receiver as well and at the running back position. So he didn't play, so I don't know if we can give him like the Ben Simmons treatment that, you know, we reclassify as a rookie. But I like those five. I just want to include him because we lose sight of him because he didn't play at all last year.
Yeah, actually, I think the league will consider him as a rookie because he didn't play all of last year. So I think he will be considered a rookie.
Yeah, so I agree with your five. I just wanted to give him a little love because I think he's going to have a good year.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Really quickly, I'm going to start to see Kevin Durant. I'm going to talk Griffey on the Warriors and Kevin Durant. And this is tough. It can go either way. I kind of think that if you're looking at the deal, the Warriors don't have the draft picks that the Brooklyn Nets are looking for. Do they have the young stars yet? So if they're even looking at this, it'd have to be some type of three-team deal with that, too, to kind of appease what Brooklyn is looking for as far as the draft picks. They have the young stars, then you got to worry about if the Warriors are willing to give up, you know, the Kamingas, the Moody's that aren't even old enough to drink yet. But in this instance, that's another situation, too. You got to think about, obviously, if they want to go back down that path because of the exhausting nature of what they had to deal with, you know, as far as what's been happening, everyone was shitting on them, if you will, but they got the championship. Now, the other thing that you got to think about is if you are the Warriors, you know, he's, like you said, he's on that four-year deal. You can kind of reasonably think, hey, we've got another top squad and the opportunity to get some more championships are out there, but you have to kind of make sure everything fits right. And to give KD some credit, he has mentioned Phoenix and the Heat as his top choices right now, too. So that's kind of why it looks a little unlikely, but he's freaking Kevin Durant. You know, again, that's something to think about. So that's kind of my two cents from that perspective, for sure. So, yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
well,
good, JQ.
Go ahead, JQ.
Well, I was only going to say that, too, is that the points you touched on for those, for the Warriors, and I just don't think that anybody is going to be able to give them the package they want. So I could see the Nets saying, hey, we got you for 4 years. We're not going to tell you get anyway. So if you want to sit out, you can do that, but we're going to bring you back. Because, I mean, if Rudy Gobert can go for four picks and players, then what the hell is Kevin Durant worth? So I just don't see anybody realistically being able to trade for him and keep a competitive team once they get him. So I'm with you. I mean, even with the Warriors, I mean, they might have the best. They got a couple of picks. but they've got the young guys that can maybe, you know, keep Brooklyn somewhat afloat as a play-in team as opposed to not being a lottery team fully. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. That seems like that's water under the bridge to me going back to Golden State.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And if you're the Warriors, why would you even make that trade? Andrew Wiggins was an elite defender in the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant, as good a scorer as he is, he's still 34 years old. He's about to be at the tail end of his career. I wouldn't trade Andrew Wiggins. You know, he just proved to you he shut down the Celtics' best player in the Finals, did a tremendous job, improved his offensive game. He was the second-best player in the NBA Finals. And, you know, Curry obviously was putting up the points, but you can make a case that Wiggins was the best all-around player in the Finals. So if you're the Warriors, you won a championship before Kevin Durant, and now you're the one won after Kevin Durant. Obviously, you won two with them. But if you're the Warriors, I would not make that trade. You just won a championship without him. And if you're going to trade for him, you got to give up Andrew Wiggins. You're giving up a younger player, an elite defender. I would not do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. And I doubt if the Warriors are really considering it. They've been there. They've been down that road with King D as temperamental as he is. I don't think he would want that either. I think he would want to go somewhere. Phoenix probably would be my guess, where he could go and try and maybe compete against that team. But to go back and I think that would ruin his legacy. Okay, they won before him, they won two with him, they won after him. So if they went and they won again, what would it mean? It wouldn't really mean anything, you know. And to me, it would. I wouldn't want that on my legacy. If I feel like I'm the top one or two, three best players in the league, I want to go where I'm the big dog. I want to go where I'm the guy that gets that last shot. I'm the guy that wins the game for our team. Not play, you know, catch up with their superstar like he did when he was there. And just like I told you guys this, I thought he was the best player on their team when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was.
It was never his team.
He was. Yeah.
So he won't
Finals MVP twice.
Go back here. You know,
that's true.
I think
he
that would be
Finals MVP.
One of his last choices. But at this point, you don't get a choice. That team's going to have those choices, really. You know,
mm-hmm.
they've got to get enough out of them. And I think the Warriors would be foolish to give up those young studs that are really, really good for him for 4 years. And who knows if he's going to want to be get his feelings hurt and want to be traded in 2 years. You know,
mm-hmm.
you never
there
know
you
with
go.
Him because he's very temperamental. So
yep.
and
I wouldn't
okay.
take that chance if I was him.
I can make the most money as I want to make. All right, good stuff. Let's keep this going. Hey, let's talk about the NBA draft grade winners and losers. Rob and JQ were on this. We'll start with Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
I'll start real quick. I'll start with the losers. The Nets, no picks. The Jazz, I don't know what they're doing. No picks. The Suns, no picks. The Lakers had one pick. They traded to get Max Christie in the second round. So I count them as a loser. They picked up a guy who's only shot 32% from three-point range. They're hoping to get a defender out of him. And also the Knicks are a loser. I mean, I know they got Jalen Brunson. They freed up some cap space. They only draft Trevor Keels, who's a 6'4", shooting guard and a power forward's body. So I count them down as a loser. The winners, the Rockets. Obviously getting Jabari Smith to fall to him at the number 3 spot. Tyre Eason from LSU at number 17. A tremendous swing man, actually from Cincinnati, JQ. 6'9", tremendous defender, tremendous ball handler. He'll be a guy that'll be a tremendous defensive player at the NBA. And then getting Ty Washington at 29. I look at him as one of those Vinnie Johnson kind of guards that come off the bench as a microwave and score. So I think they did a really good job with those 3 first-round picks. And then Oklahoma City, getting Chet Holmgren at number 2, arguably the best player in the draft. Osmond Dean at number 11 from France. I thought was a really good pick. Then Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, underrated guy, 6'6", with long arms. He's also been playing well in the summer league. And then they draft another Jalen Williams from Arkansas,
Jalen Williams,
6'10". If Jalen Williams, the Arkansas Jalen Williams in the second round, if he would have came back to school, he would have been a top 10 pick next year. So they get him a year early. I thought they had a heck of a draft. And, you know, I got Houston over OKC, but you can make a case for OKC having the best draft. I like what Detroit did, too. Jaden Ivey from Purdue, and then coming back and getting Jalen Duren from Memphis. 7'1", big man, who can run the floor, who's going to be able to defend. And then they get Gabriel Procida, a great shooter from Italy as well in the second round. So I thought Detroit had a solid draft. Indiana, I like what they did in Benedict Mathurin. I like the 2 second-round picks, Andrew Nembhard from Gonzaga and Kendall Brown, who I thought just about everybody else thought was a first-round pick, and they got him in the second round at 48. And then last but not least, my New Orleans Pelicans. You got to give them props. Dyson Daniels, obviously, one of the maybe the best defender in the draft. Tremendous ball handler. He's got to work on the shot. Good value there, number 8. But Ohio State, something about New Orleans and Ohio State, getting E.J. Liddell in the second round. He was a first round by everybody's mock drafts, including mine. He reminds me a lot of Grant Williams from the Celtics. He's about 6'7". He's a power forward, maybe a little short, and maybe that's why he fell into the second round. But he really got better this last year. He went back to school, got better. I know he's disappointed he didn't get picked in the first round, but I think he's a real steal for the Pelicans. I think he's a Grant Williams-type player from Celtics. He can step out and hit the three. He can step out and post up. He can be physical. I thought that was a complete steal getting him. And then, of course, the Pelicans getting Carlo Matkovic from Croatia was also a steal, getting him in the second round, that part of the second round as well. So quietly, the Pels are putting together a nice roster. So those are my 5 winners.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to get to them.
Too, with Alvarado, too, by the way. Sorry, JQ. I'm just saying I'm a fan
of Alvarado. No, I was wondering if you're going to get to them. Because those things you talked about before, Houston and Oklahoma City, but I thought Detroit getting Jaden Ivey to fall on the 5. There was some talk that he was maybe interested in that top 3 conversation. And again, for everything you just said, I thought the Pelicans, real quiet, like the Pelicans are assembling a really nice, young, deep team. And they've got a good leader, I think, in C.J. McCollum, who's not old, you know what I mean? I mean, he's not young, but he's not old. Like, he's a guy that's still someone in his prime. And I think with his standing, in the NBA PA, he can command that locker room and address any leadership issues. They quietly are putting together a really deep young team down there in New Orleans.
Yes. Willie Green doing a phenomenal job too. These guys are buying in.
Curtis Gary, stay tuned. I'm gonna throw the next topic after this one really quickly. But really, Rob, this is for Rob JQ. Apparently, he's gonna talk about Chet Holmgren's summer league debut. Was it impressive? I don't know if I should make JQ answer this question, but. Rob apparently
didn't go
all in, man. Go ahead.
Well, it's one game. It's a summer league game. We got to put that in perspective, right? But obviously he did what he's supposed to do in a game like that. And so, we've seen guys that go into the summer leagues and just flat out lay an egg and they turn out to be a bust. So I think what we saw in this game is that he's extremely skilled. He was 4 out of 6 from the three-point range. He had 23 points, had 6 blocks, which is a summer league record. So I think I think there's some optimism for OKC. Now, that being said, he played again in back-to-back night tonight. You can clearly see that he's got to get in the weight room. He's going against Kenny Lofton Jr. from the Grizzlies. Kenny Lofton Jr. was really posting him up. Kenny Lofton Jr. is only about 6'8". He still had a solid game tonight. He had a few three-pointers. He had 11 points at halftime, 12 rebounds, and a couple of blocks. So still another solid performer. One thing for sure, and I've said this even prior to the draft, OKC in the summer league is playing him at the center position. I don't envision him as a center. I want him playing as a forward because he can handle the ball, he can face the basket, and I don't want him guarding the other team's center like he was doing tonight in the summer league. And even in all my mock drafts, I list him as a forward. I never list him at a center, but they playing him as a center in the summer league. I want him playing that stretch four position or even some small forward.
Yeah, Kenny Lofton Jr. said, say it with your chest, because he was putting it right in his chest and going at it. So, know what I was going to say. Like, let's temper it. This is the Utah Summer League as well. Like, it's not even the best one that's out there. So, I mean, yeah, it was nice to six blocks. I like his confidence and everything. But let's slow down the train a little bit is all I'm going to say.
Slow down.
Yeah. He's got some cockiness to him, too. He talks a lot of trash.
He talks a whole lot of trash.
Yeah, you got to. You got to. Hey, really quickly, Curtis and Gary, what's up with the Blazers waving Eric Bledsoe?
Really? That's the big topic for us? Eric Bledsoe?
We got to
come on.
We got to get to these topics.
I blame Rob on for that one. I've got no comment on that. I think that's fine.
He seems disinterested the last couple of years in the league. He just don't seem like he's into – he just seems disinterested. Even the year when he was with the Pels, he just seems out of it.
Yeah, I think it's – yeah, I don't have anything to say on that, really. Do you, Curtis? Bledsoe being –
he doesn't fit the top line anyway.
You know, nice. We'll give him to the Lakers.
Yeah. No, hell no.
Yeah. Oh man, we got.
Well, maybe
we
you
got
put
nice
him on a contending team, though. He might go back to some of his old ways. So you know, who knows?
No. Next.
I think it's more health issues than anything. You know, how many years does he have in the league? You know,
hey, Bledsoe, y'all want John Collins?
Uh-oh.
John Collins. Wow.
Coming in hot.
Nah, man, you going to trade John Collins for Eric Bledsoe?
Oh, I thought y'all was talking about Zion. My bad.
No, come on, man.
Come from New Orleans. He's coming in firing. I love it.
Hey, Naj, we're doing good. Good to have you on, man. We're doing the lightning round. We're not going to do an OT portion, sir. So we got about 13 minutes to get through all 27 topics that Robert's put on. So we're kind of going lightning speed, if you will, too. So we're going to try to get these topics. This was a personal challenge of mine. Looks like we may even get through like 20 of them, but I'm still going to try really quickly. So we're kind of going around the room, brief as possible. This is for JQ. We got to talk about the Lakers signing Thomas Bryant. What's up with that, bro?
I mean, for right now, it's death, but I think he has upside. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So I guess they're going to have to put him and AD in the same damn bubble so they can try to keep them healthy. When healthy, he's a really good rim protector. He's a really good rebounder as well. So if you're trying to recreate what they had before with, you know, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, you still got Dwight Howard. You try to upgrade in your mind with Thomas Bryant if he can stay healthy. I'm not mad at it. 1 year deal. You see what he's got. And see if he can man the middle. That's how I take it. I don't feel like he's anything that puts you over the top. But you saw it. You got to have a little depth, and you don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of big men, but you got to have somebody to play that Robert Williams role that played it for the Celtics, right, to guard that paint. So if they can get that out of him, this is a good time.
Hold on,
take a chance on him on a one-year deal. I mean, I know last year he only played 10 games because of the injury, but the year before last, you know, he was almost a double-double every night. And so I think it's a good move for the Lakers, taking a shot at him and see what you can get out of him. So I think it's a signing worth taking, especially if it's only a one-year deal.
Agreed.
What did Charles Barkley call AD? Did he call him Street Clothes when that is nickname?
Street Clothes.
So you call him?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Street Clothes.
Nah, you got something to say real quick, bro?
No, I mean, they said it perfectly. It's a scratch-off ticket. You win $20 off a scratch-off ticket, you're not mad. You know what I mean? You didn't spend anything, so it is what it is. But if he's healthy, hey, but look, he's talented enough, though, to where if he's healthy, he'll play himself out of the price range of the Lakers, and he'll be somewhere else the year after. So, like, he has the talent if he's healthy enough to play. But, yeah, perfect signing. You do this every time.
Rob, the early 2023 NBA mock draft. I know everyone's looking at the Frenchman Victor, what's his name, Wembanyama, if you will. And who is it? Who's the guy from the G League? The second, is it Scooter Penn or something like that? Is that the top two? Anyone else? Is that what we're looking at? Anyone else for the 23?
Scoot Henderson and Wembanyama
and whatever, the French guy. Yeah. Yes,
Wembanyama is all you need to know. The kid is 7'3". He's got a 7'9" wingspan. He's athletic. He can block shot. He's got a little bit bigger body frame. A lot of scouts compare him to Chet Holmgren, but he's got a little bit more frame than Chet Holmgren does. He is the clear-cut number one pick in next year's draft, unless he just has a total bomb. Something happens, goes crazy next year. But he is the clear-cut number one pick as of right now for next year's draft. And as Nas just mentioned, Scoot Henderson, point guard from the G League, 6'4", has handles, got the athleticism. Right now they're the top two potential picks in the draft. I don't even have Imani Bates in the top 30, so we'll see what he does with Eastern Michigan. He's going from, as my grandmother would say, sugar to shit. And so we'll see.
we'll
see if he rebounds. We'll see if he rebounds here in the next year. But I'm not going to go through the whole 30 for the sake of time. Our listeners can see it on our Talking Sports for the 12 Man Facebook page. I posted the entire 30, top 30 for next year's draft as of now.
You went back in the time and said you could screw the pen. Ohio State stand up, Dre.
Yeah, I did. I was thinking of like two different names, you knew where I was going with that too. I was like, is that Scooter Pen? I was thinking of like giving you a shout out there. Hey, JQ, really quickly, you want to talk about the top available free agents for the NBA, if you will?
No, because who are they? Like, they got like Carmelo Anthony's old ass out there and. Bobby Portis, I'm like, I don't really know.
Bobby Portis,
resigned. He resigned, right?
Well, the fact that he was on the list tells you everything you need to know. I get it. He's a good role player, but there's nobody else out there that I salivate over, unless you put like DeAndre Ayton out there, but he's a restricted free agent, so Phoenix can still match. I'll let you have it, Rob. There's nobody I'm looking out there like, oh my God, if we could get them, that would just make my day.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, James Harden still is probably the number one guy. He's going to re-sign with the Sixers, so it's, not what we're talking about. But DeAndre Ayton, Colin Sexton are restricted free agents. They'll be the next two guys. I know Dallas is showing a lot of interest in Sexton right now. We'll see what happens with that. And then other than that, you got Carmelo Anthony. If you're looking for a guy that can come off the bench and don't play any defense, but he can hit three-pointers. So if you're looking for that kind of guy, he may be able to come in here like a quick three for you before the end of the half or before the end of the game. And then another sleeper guy is Isaiah Roby, center from OKC. He's a guy that good athleticism, a big man, come in and get you some good minutes off the bench. Probably can get you about 8 points and 5 to 6 rebounds. You need some guys like that coming off the bench. So he'll be another sleeper guy. But other than that, as JQ mentioned, there's not much left out there.
Good stuff. Hey, really quickly, we're going to make this happen. Curtis and Gary, 4-star quarterback Caleb Presley commits to Oregon. What you got for that? Woo-hoo-hoo!
What do you got for that, Curtis? 4-star recruit cornerback for Oregon. Well, good for Oregon. Now we got to know what conference they're going to be playing in.
Right.
Yeah. It looks like they're, as of right now, they're committed to making the Pac-12 work, so we'll see.
That they're a lie. If the Big Ten called down to Washington, they'll be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I hear the Big Ten doesn't want them. I hear the Big Ten wants to wait for Notre Dame. They want to wait at least.
Yep.
Well, if this report is true, the Big Ten wants to give Notre Dame 2 years to join before they add another team to the conference.
There it is.
Yeah, I heard that. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, Oregon is going to have the most disrespectful interview process since Nino Brown. They're going to sit the rest of them Pac-12 guys down and tell them they're taking all the money, they're getting everything that's important, and if they want to be down, they just going to have to accept Oregon dominant. Like, that's what's about to happen. Like, the teams who are left out of the Super Conference thing, the big dogs, man, they're going to treat them boys poorly. You know what I mean?
Nino Brown.
I'm talking about UT telling the rest of the Big 12, we getting the Big Longhorn Network, and y'all get nothing type stuff. Like, that's what Oregon is going to do. It's going to be crazy.
I agree.
He said,
this dude went way back to 1987, New Jack City.
Remember that?
Yeah.
$5 ass down for have to make change. What? Oh, man. That's classic.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Rob. I'm just saying, Oregon is, but as soon as that invite comes, they're going to be on the first thing smoking. I wonder, though, if they don't speed Notre Dame up, because the Pac-12 media deal, I think, is up next year or in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they put the 2-year deal on it, to keep Oregon and Washington in their back pocket. But Oregon and Washington, Phil Knight already said, hey, y'all better get to the Big Ten and stop playing. So when Phil talks,
Phil Knight wants them to go.
Yep.
You know what? Right now, college athletics. Right now, there's two dominant leagues, and that's the SEC and the Big Ten. If the SEC comes calling, or the Big Ten comes calling, teams are going to join those conferences because they're the most stable conferences in America right now. When you talk about from a revenue standpoint, when you look at the SEC, still has that huge deal with CBS, and both of them, you know, have their own networks and things of that nature. Right now, they are the two most stable conferences. If the SEC picks up the phone and call Clemson, Florida State, Miami tomorrow, they're going to all
in
the SEC, and they're going to join the SEC. And the same thing with the Big Ten, and they call Washington or Oregon.
Yeah.
So we're talking about
$300 million per team per year. Like, that's how ridiculous the money's going to be. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Man, ACC and Pac-12 are discussing a partnership. Talk about that, Rob.
So basically what they're doing is they're talking about putting together, not necessarily joining forces, but having some cross-conference games, and then also sharing a championship game in Las Vegas. And basically having an ACC winner play the Pac-12 winner in another game in Las Vegas for a championship.
Yep.
So these other conferences are scrambling right now to try to compete with the Big Ten and the SEC, and they're talking to each other just to see what they can possibly do.
Oregon better win because nobody wants to see Clemson play Washington State. I'm just saying.
Yeah, competing is not an option, though, because population sizes are what they are, and if you can't walk in and just basically say, hey, we got X amount of viewers, we got X amount of people who can travel, like – the conversation, the real big thing, though, is how do they cobble together a basketball conference? Because the super basketball powers is not as much money in basketball, but there is a way for the blue bloods of basketball to kind of put their own thing together. So that's the other part.
Yeah, you look at what the Big 12 has done. If they stay constructed the way they are, the Big 12 is going to have a strong basketball conference. They're still going to have Kansas. They're still going to have Baylor. They just added Houston. So they're going to have a real Texas Tech. So they're still going to have a real power house from a basketball conference. But ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. We're not having an OT portion on tonight. Andre did a fabulous job with the speed drill tonight, getting through most of the topics on tonight. So that was a lot of fun. We hope you all enjoyed the show tonight. We want to hear from you all. Write us on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you think about the show. Give us some feedback if you agree with us or disagree with us. Next week, I believe we're going to be back to our regular scheduled night on Tuesday night. So for our friends in the Big Apple, that's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. In Chicago, we want to hear about y'all. We want to know what y'all decide about the Soldier Field thing. It's going to be 10 o'clock in Chicago. JQ's favorite city, Albuquerque, it's going to be 9 p.m.
Oh, God.
And for the Jackson, Mississippi of California, Fresno, it's going to be 8 p.m. We want to hear from y'all on next week. Good night, people. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And one last thing.
Send us Zion for John Collins. I'm sorry, man. Last
it ain't happening.
That's right, Nas. That's right, Nas. Get that in there.
I I tell you like this. It's been a great show. I appreciate you, Rob. That was pretty fun. I tell you what, the Pac-12 and the ACC talk about doing that, you're going to see some of the most egregious calls ever in your life, because there's no way those Pac-12 refs are going to let Oregon not make it to that championship game. I'm just going to put that out there. That's going to be must-see TV if that happens, because Oregon going to be able to throw four. Oregon might get away with throwing 3-4 passes for the same play. Refs going to be like, what, that ain't legal? Right. I'm just saying.
I want Oregon and Washington in that game for sure.
Oh yeah!
Goodness gracious, gentlemen. Nah, thank you for joining on as always, Curtis and Gary. Appreciate you. I was trying to get through. I gotta say, we got through 22 of the 27 topics. There's like four we didn't get to, man. So again, that was, I think, pretty successful for the night. We had fun. Naj, we appreciate your input. It was kind of dicey, but we appreciate you bringing some spice to the show, which is why I got you in.
Let me get a little bit of y'all group project. Let me steal a little off y'all grade on the group project coming in at the last minute. Yes, sir. But yeah, y'all go.
100%.
Hey, I like the New Jack City flashback. That was awesome.
You took it back to New Brown.
We went back in 1987.
Man. Hey, so let Oregon hold the money. He ain't going nowhere. The donut shop ain't open.
There you go.
The white man can't jump for y'all. Sorry.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, like I said, everyone has some. Man, that whole soundtrack is pretty dope, man. I'm going to take you back. Whenever I was in high school, this was crazy. I actually called the radio station. I won the New Jack City soundtrack. I thought that was the coolest thing ever in my life, man. So, I had the CD. I kept replaying that scene like over and over. I thought Color Me Bad was black. You know, still a lot of things that we used to do, man. That whole CD was still amazing, man. So, little Christopher Williams, don't wake me, I'm dreaming.
Hey.
The whole thing, man. I was all about that kind of thing, man. Man.
I'm going to go with Above the Rim. No,
oh,
Above
the Rim was great, too. But see, I'm saying that's the one that I won. So I had that kind of, I just ran that, I played that CD out, man. But once Above the Rim came out, I was with you, man. I was all about, you know, the whole Sweet Sable, little SWV, little Method Man. Man, you couldn't tell me anything either,
mm-hmm.
man. T-Pain. Ah! Loved it, man. Anyway, I digress. We have to kind of end the call because we got some early wake-up calls tomorrow. Thank you so much for taking the time, gentlemen. That was fun. We kind of did a speed round. I'm going to try, Rob. I'm going to try to keep this going, man. So if you're going to put 30 topics next week, we're going to try again, bro, because I appreciate you doing that. So that's what we're going to be committed to do. We got to be succinct.
It's crazy.
Succinct with our points, man. But
I think last week
we had
10 topics, and then we had 27 this week.
Oh, man. It's all about management. So, again, Curtis, Gary, hope Curtis is feeling good over there. Gary, thank you for taking care of him. Naj, keep it coming, bro. We appreciate the Nino Brown references. JQ, thanks for coming through in the clutch. We know you couldn't jump on the call. I know you had the stupid rain delay, but I'm just happy that you're safe, man. So kudos for that.
Appreciate it.
Rob, thank you for putting together the topics, man. Hope you had a happy birthday, man, again. We hope your man crush for Tech homeroom is going to hopefully end at some point. I know you're trying to prove a point that he's going to make it in the league, man. So it's all good, man. So. I'm just messing with you, though, man. Rob was watching
his
birthday.
I better back off, man. I don't want to be like Andre was with Tim Tebow. We couldn't go 4 or 5 years without a Tim Tebow mention from Andre.
Man, that was actually just for fun, believe it or not. I did that just for fun, you know. But other than that, it was just I had to make it a point to put Tim Tebow in every conversation because it was just one of those things, man. But, you know, it was only for fun. So that's my thought.
Well, I don't care who tells
you. Yeah. You know, hey, it's all good, man. I used to have fun with that, man.
Get out the phone with y'all.
we're
good night,
fellas. Too, man. It's all good. Good night, fellas. We'll talk to you.
All right, y'all.
Peace.
All right,
peace.